We got breaking news. The IRS threatens a new whistleblower with criminal investigation.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls today at 1-800-684-3110, broadcasting live on your radio, on satellite radio, on all your favorite social media platforms, and today on Rumble. As you know, yesterday we were almost at that 200,000 mark, and I'm happy to say thanks to all of you who joined us. We have crossed that mark, and we'll celebrate you guys at Rumble even more a little bit later, thanks to the 200,000 subscribers who are joining us over there. Now, we got to break down what's going on. That's We've got a stacked show today. Later on, we'll be joined by Rick Grinnell, who's calling us from Albania.
Right.
So that'll be interesting in the next segment. And then later on, we'll be joined by Matt Hammett, who is an incredible musician and speaker. And we're going to talk to him about his brand new song, Church Hurt, and also a new project he has coming out and his work in the pro-life movement with the new project he's doing with Save the Storks, who we've worked with for a number of years. So it's going to be a great show, so make sure you stay tuned. But Will, we wanted to break down this breaking news coming out of this whole IRS whistleblower investigation, if you
right.
will.
So to set the stage for everyone, you'll remember that there was a whistleblower that came before Congress, said, I want to make protected disclosures through the whistleblower statutes. And that whistleblower was saying that the political process was infecting the IRS investigations into a high-profile investigation. All the news reported that to be Hunter Biden, although the whistleblower was not making that disclosure because they were keeping the protected status. But then we found out last week that that whistleblower was removed. He or she and their entire investigative team were removed from the investigation. Now, that same law firm that's representing that first whistleblower, and this has Mark Little and Tristan Levitt, who are the attorneys that signed on to this, they sent a new letter to the commissioner of the IRS, Danny Werfel, not the same one from the Florida Gators, but
thank you for the clarification.
He has a message that was sent up to leadership within IRS where another agent that was working on that same investigation says, when I said on multiple occasions that I wasn't being heard and that I thought I wasn't able to perform my job adequately because of the actions of the U.S. Attorney's Office and the DOJ, my concerns were ignored by senior leadership. This email that he sent to leadership then got a response from assistant special agent in charge suggesting, without any basis, according to these attorneys, that he may have illegally disclosed grand jury material in the email. So a chilling effect, threatening that, hey, you better be careful emailing your supervisors. You may be disclosing things and committing a crime, threatening basically a criminal investigation against this person. These lawyers aren't standing for it. They're sending a cease and desist, saying, stop intimidating these clients.
Yeah, and people are asking. I see a lot of comments saying, how can we protect the whistleblowers? A lot of it is through action like that. And honestly, we just got to bring a lot of attention to it. There's so much attention that needs to be brought to it. You're not seeing this as your number one story anymore. You're seeing this as something that moves on. It's easy to even look at this title. I was concerned when we were putting up this show that people are just going to think this is the whistleblower from last week because it feels like we're a little bit on repeat. But this is a whole new situation. And that's why we're here to expose this, but also to get your support through the ACLJ. And I want you right now to go to our website, take some time, go look at all the great content. I mean, we're live right now. We're going to be live for the next hour. And there's incredible content there at ACLJ.org. Obviously, you can make a tax-deductible donation. We'd appreciate it. But we provide an incredible resource, and we provide legal help. So if you need legal help, you can find us. Go to ACLJ.org/help. Coming up next on the broadcast, we have Rick Grinnell, who's joining us live from Albania. We're going to keep this conversation going. I'm sure he's got a lot to say about this whistleblower situation. It's going to be an interesting conversation for sure. Following that, we'll be joined by Matt Hammett again, a musician, speaker, advocate. You're going to hear from him and a brand new song he has that I think is, especially if you're listening on Christian radio, which I know a lot of you are, one of the most important, impactful songs in Christian music in a very long time. So I really think you should stay tuned and listen. He's going to be performing live in studio, which doesn't happen that often. That's what happens when you get me on this show, get me in chair number one. We're going to have live musical performances, got multiple guests. We're going to have a lot of interesting discussion coming up on Seculo. We'll be right back. Seculo again. This is a jam-packed show. We are now joined by Rick Grinnell, calling us from Albania, but we're really going to keep this discussion going about the current whistleblower situation. And Rick, it seems like each week we're seeing more and more corruption out of the FBI and out of the IRS. And now with these new disclosures, and we have agents trying to do the right thing, they're getting threatened with criminal investigations. I have a feeling you have some thoughts.
Yeah, Logan, I am calling from Tirana, Albania, a great NATO ally of ours. And I would say that everyone who is concerned about what's happening in the United States is talking about this issue. Here in Albania, I've been asked about what's going on with the FBI. Can they be trusted? And I think that what you have to understand is that we were the country that had an intelligence service that was impeccable and above reproach. And what we're finding out is that that is not true. There are individuals at the top of the FBI, at the top of intelligence agencies, that have acted very inappropriately by being partisan. And that's how countries fall. This is a terrible situation. And we are literally unable to talk about other countries being partisan or attacking the rule of law when we do it ourselves. And so there's the big concern, and I hope that people like Avril Haines, who's the Director of National Intelligence, taking this very seriously and trying to clean up the corruption by firing individuals.
Rick, you bring up that it seems widespread and that the world is watching. One of the concerns we have is that each time that one of these agencies, whether it be the IRS, the FBI, the ODNI, whenever some sort of disparate treatment is exposed, the way they're treating people on the left versus the right, they always seem to say, oh, thanks for bringing that to our attention. We've cleaned it up. But each week we get new revelations that it continues and it's much worse than we thought. We need Congress to clean this up. Can they get it done?
You know, certainly there are people who want to get it done, but there's not enough. There are not enough politicians that are focused on this. You ask any immigrant to the United States, any first or second generation immigrant, and they will tell you this is such a serious problem. Now, there's a whole bunch of people who have been in the United States for four, five, six generations who ignore this, who think, oh, well, they just clean it up and they move on. But those individuals who came from other countries, who know the weaponization of the intelligence agencies and what it can do, are fearful. We have too many people in Washington, whether they're politicians or reporters, who are extremely dismissive. That FBI statement saying this happened and we've already cleaned it up, so go about your business, was so offensive to people who are really nervous. And I'll finish with this. What people like Avril Haines need to realize that she has on her hands an incredible credibility problem for the intelligence agencies. Anyone who works in an intel agency needs to understand this is a crisis of credibility for them. If they don't clean this up, then the American people will continue to not have faith in these institutions, and we will spiral out of control. It is a literally red alert to clean this up, and we need to see action.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. I think that's one of the, you know, if you're following politics, you may have watched the Tim Scott announcements yesterday. One of his big statements was, America is not in decline. And it, to be honest, like the guy, I think he could be a great person to be involved in the bigger scale. But when you have these situations, Will, and you hear America's not in decline, it's not a nation in decline, but we know what's going on with the IRS. We know what's going on with the FBI. We know what's going on with the CIA. And then, Rick, we point to you and we go, okay, we're going to file a new lawsuit like we did on Friday because of the treatment that the left gets compared to treatment like, I don't know, someone specific, like Rick Grinnell got, where all of his, you know, records are being, you know, brought forward. And we're going to take a new approach to that as a First Amendment violation. And I have a feeling I feel like you have something to say about it because we didn't get to talk to you about that. Something we brought up on the show just the other day, but do you think it's important angle to bring forward right now to say, you know what, this is no longer about, it's not about transparency. It's about the First Amendment.
Yeah, look, first let's start with, Tim Scott. I couldn't be more proud to have somebody like Tim Scott running for president. He just is a great example in Washington, D.C., somebody who has just brought common sense. I, of course, think that Donald Trump is our best choice, but I certainly am proud of the fact that somebody like Tim Scott is courageous enough to get in and run and articulate a campaign. We need more people like that in the Senate. What I would say is I'm just so thankful for ACLJ for once again stepping up on, you know, really what happened to me and what happened to others. My emails were quickly turned over from the State Department when, you know, far left organizations and outlets ask for them. It's just a double standard. As you know, Logan, we literally have years where we go as conservatives asking for transparency on certain things, and we're just told to go pound sand. And what happened with me is they start turning over my emails within 6 months of me leaving. They never told me. They never informed me. They just started turning over all my emails. Now, lucky enough, I had been in government long periods of time where I knew, tried to do everything in person. don't put any of the machinations of the process in writing, and that way we'll save you. But the point is, you know, we want transparency, but we also want fairness. And this is absolutely a system that is two-tiered. And whether it's with FOIA requests or with the IRS or with judicial prosecutions, we know we have a problem in America.
Rick, I wanted to turn here finally to the war in Ukraine, and that something you've been concerned about a long time and have said on this broadcast before is the fact that it seems that especially through our State Department, but also through the Department of Defense, is that we continue to fund through munitions and different armaments to Ukraine to continue this war, but you're missing the key component of diplomacy to bring an end to it. We even heard in the town hall how Donald Trump just said, "I just want to see people stop dying." And that doesn't seem to be the tactic of this administration. Yesterday, President Biden said that we will begin training Ukrainian members of the Ukrainian Air Force in how to use F-16s. This has been a push a long time that he had resisted, but now seems that the aid that we'll be providing will take a new level in the form of F-16s in the near future with that training. And also the fact that the Department of Defense said, hey, we overcounted how much that aid was worth by $3 billion. So we've got an extra $3 billion on our tab we can just send over thanks to Congress. What's your take on this as it goes into well into this second year of war over there?
Look, I worked at the State Department for 12 years. I am somebody who really cares deeply about diplomacy, and I'm all for having a strong military. I think having a very tough military reaction and quick response is good, but you first got to try the diplomatic angle. You got to have the State Department there. And the State Department has just been shoved to the side. I mean, Anthony Blinken hasn't been able to come up with a single piece deal. No even draft, no ideas. The Chinese have put forward a pretty good starting point. Even Zelensky himself, the Ukrainian leader, complimented the Chinese draft peace plan because it talked about territorial integrity for Ukraine, meaning they need to keep all of their land. And so this is a basis that we should have been able to start on. I'm disappointed that the Americans didn't do it first. This is the role of the State Department, but it's quite embarrassing to see the State Department shoved aside during the Biden administration.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick. Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy, Rick Grinnell, joined the team here at the ACLJ a few years ago and has been providing incredible content to us each and every week. And Rick is a world traveler, so I'm sure the next time we catch up with him, who knows where he'll be, but we'll do that later on this week. Thanks, Rick. I do want to draw attention to our next segment and set this up a little bit because we're going to kind of hop right into it when we get to the next portion. We're going to be joined by Matt Hammett. If you're listening and you're one of our audience members, who either's listening to Christian radio, or maybe you're someone who's a Christian, maybe you're someone who was a Christian, has had a falling out with the church. I think this is one of the most important songs to come out of Christian music in a very, very long time, especially if you're an adult who has lived a life and has dealt with a lot of stuff. This is a song for you. You're going to want to stay tuned. He's going to perform it live here in the studio. So if you're watching on Rumble, if you're watching on YouTube or wherever, you're going to see that live in studio. It's going to be great. We're going to have a little bit more discussion after. We're also going to talk about his involvement in sort of the pro-life movement, what's going on with Save the Storks. And for those who are looking for political angles in here, President Trump actually just unveiled sort of his new plan to take on the life issue. And it's very different, and it could be revolutionary. I'm very encouraged by this change of tone. I've said this before. As you know, Roe was overturned, we have to figure out if we can change the playbook, we can change the world. And I believe that. And I think this is one of those steps. Whoever is advising him, or whether it's him, this is a big, big step for the pro-life movement that could be coming in 2024. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Secular. I wanted to jump right into this. We are joined in studio by my friend, long-term time friend, Matt. I looked back. I think I've interviewed you for the last 19 years.
Wow,
we have been doing this. And the first time friends. I did it, it was with your band Sanctus Real, one of my favorite bands in Christian rock history. And I called your band Building 429, and I have never forgotten this. I've thought about it every day for 19 years. You had just won the GMA Dove Award for like Rock Album of the Year. And I love that record. Let's Fight the Tide. And I go there and I say, here they are, Building 429. And you slip the card in and go, hey, it's Sanctus.
I've thought about it every day since too, Logan.
Okay,
you know,
good. I'm glad that we mutually
I didn't even remember it.
Trust me, I do. And I think about it all the time. I want to jump right in, change the tone a bit. You have a brand new song. We're going to discuss the story behind it, the details behind it when you're done playing. But I want to make sure that we have enough time. It's called Church Hurt. Again, I've been pitching it the last two segments. Go to matthammett.com to stream it, download it. I think it's an incredibly powerful song and a song that's much needed, especially for those of us who grew up in the faith, grew up in the church, and maybe had mixed experiences. And I think a lot of people are going through that still right now. So I'm going to let you take it from here, and then let's have some discussion after that, and then also talk about some of the other work you're doing. So here's Matt Hammett with Church Hurt.
Oh, I still talk about it. I say I let it go, but when those four walls fall, they can crush a faithful soul. I used to be so trusting, hung on every word. I thought I found my family, and then my whole world turned when I felt that church hurt. So hard to put into words, feeling stranded, abandoned. Thought we would end up with heaven on earth instead of this church hurt. Oh, we found ourselves down in the dirt, all of us imperfect people under a steeple, just trying to do God's work. And then there was church hurt. And lately I've been asking, did I really put my faith in someone higher than a person, in something bigger than a stage, when I felt that church hurt? So hard to put into words, feeling stranded, abandoned, thought we would end up with heaven on earth instead of this church hurt. Oh, we found ourselves down in the dirt, all of us imperfect people under a steeple, just trying to do God's work. And then there was church hurt. There was church hurt. I felt the kiss of Judas. My heart has been betrayed. Oh, but if we're being honest, Lord, we treated you the same. 'Cause you felt that church hurt when your blood and tears hit the earth. church.
I don't know how we end this, but I'll clap along. Man, that is such an incredible song. And you sent it to me a few months ago when you were working on it, and I played it for a few people. I was like, you have to hear this, because I think we've all got, a lot of us have gone through this, a lot of us experienced this firsthand. But for you, I want to know, you know, what sparked this? Because it can't be an easy discussion, even as a Christian music artist.
Yeah.
You turn on Christian radio traditionally, and I'm glad this is playing on 1,000 Christian radio stations right now, because you turn on Christian radio traditionally, it's going to be very positive, very hopeful. It should be, and I believe your song ends that way. But it's a tough topic to talk about right now.
Yeah, it really is. And so many people have experienced it and are experiencing it. And I think for me, I think the starting point that I like to say is the church is the greatest force for good in the entire world, right? Like, we're doing more amazing things around the world to help people and than any other group of people. And, you know, statistically, we can see that. But in visiting 2,500 churches over the past 25 years, I can't ignore the fact that there's also a lot of people who have felt hurt or abandoned or displaced. And I think I came to a point where I was like, man, I had so many friends who were leaving the church, deconstructing their faith. And really, to be honest, I've been through it too, you know, especially as a child, I watched my parents go through so much pain of church hurt, as we come to call it. And I watched them be faithful, keep serving the church. They always taught me and my brother, like, we serve God and not people. And so they were an amazing example, but it doesn't take away from the fact there are so many people on the fringes. And so where I would kind of wrap it for me, you know, and explaining the message of the song is like, hey, if we want the church to be strong and we want to build the church to keep making a huge difference in the world, then we've got to care for the weak who are amongst us and on the fringes, you know, and so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sums it up well. And Will, I know that we played it for you as well. Will's pastor's son grew up with a lot of these same thoughts and questions. And you are seeing that sort of from a mainstream media point of view and from a Christian media point of view, right? The conversation around deconstruction, the conversation around people abandoning their faith, and some with reason.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Even if I don't agree with the end result,
totally.
It's not like a lot of these people are coming out with things that they don't, I mean, they feel wronged for,
yeah,
for a reason.
Well, there's two, I would say there's two categories too of church hurt, which is like, you know, you've got some people who there is like a clear abuser or manipulator or abusive, yeah, power, right? Where somebody like, hey, that's a totally different trauma experience that needs to have a deeper healing process. But a lot of people have just felt displaced relationally. They didn't fit. Maybe they were hurt, didn't know how to work through it. And, you know, I think speaking to those people with empathy, I think that's why this song starts with the empathy piece. And part of my story for me being a kid, driving away from the only church I ever knew with my parents, finding out we were never going to go back. And like that first sting. And I think, you know, people, it's like to empathize with where they're at, ask the questions, do we put our faith ultimately in God or people? And then remember that Jesus was the first to be betrayed.
And you bring that up so often, and I see comments of people on Rumble echoing kind of the sentiment, though, that a lot of times I feel like the blame is then placed on Christ for the sins of the people that are, yeah, that are imperfect people, as it mentions in the, yeah, song, that Christ gets the blame for the sins of the people,
yes,
when the focus needs to remain on him, and that's where the redemption of those sins comes from.
Yeah.
And I love the narrative of the song as well, as it starts where it does and then ends up with the metaphor of what Christ went through from the institutional church, yeah, in his day.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't really unpack it all. So I actually wrote a 7-day devotional called Life After Church Hurt. That's available at my website, so
that's
people
awesome.
Can check that out.
We're going to be back in just a second with more from Matt, because this is not all he's doing. He is doing a lot of work, too, with, say, the Storks and in the pro-life movement as well. We're going to discuss that, and you're probably going to want to hear that song again. I'm seeing the comments. There's thousands of you watching right now, and a lot of you want to know how you can hear it again. Go to matthammett.com. Look for it on all your favorite platforms. It's there right now. Church Hurt is a brand new song, and we're going to discuss that. We're going to keep the conversation moving as well, though. If you have any questions or comments, by the way, feel free to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. The last segment, I'll take some of those. We'll be right back with more from Matt.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to be taking your calls here at the end of the show, so I want you to give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Any of the topics we've covered today, happy to discuss, or maybe got something else on your mind. if it's kind of within our scope, we'll take it. We just had Matt Hammett perform his new song, Church Hurt, which if you missed it, either go back later, listen to the show, but also go to matthammett.com where you can stream it and listen to it and play it for your friends. This is a song, you said you have a devotional I want to get to as well, that is, you know, we kind of have to get a movement behind it. I think it's in a very important song, but as we said, it's a tough topic that I'm not sure everyone's ready to have the conversation about. But I think it's important if you are involved in, really, it doesn't matter if you go to church or not. A lot of us, especially those in positions like ours, have been through a lot of interesting things in church, goods and bads. And to have that conversation actually open up, I think is very important. But I'm going to let you plug this real quick. There is a devotional that's available specifically on this. In the next segment, we're going to talk about a new project you got going on.
Yeah.
But for this, there's a devotional.
I knew the song would crack open big conversations. So I was like, okay, I can't cover that in a 4-minute song. So me and my buddy Eric Newberry actually wrote a 7-day devotional called Life After Church Hurt, which you made completely free. You can get it at my website. You don't even have to opt into my email list. I wanted no barriers.
That's
for people
great.
To get this. Yeah, but it just opens up these conversations. We have to have hard conversations to get to the healing. And our hope is that we start this hard conversation and then help people get to that place of healing.
All right, so get that at matthammett.com. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about in the next segment. There is some moves in the pro-life sphere that are pretty interesting that are happening right now. And it ties into a sort of global rethink on how we start talking about this issue moving forward. A lot of you, I know, saw the overturn of Roe versus Wade with Dobbs, and you were like, well, that's it. We won. Moving on. We've seen this actually pretty interestingly. There's a lot of reports and a lot of data that has come out from our stations, from a lot of the networks, from our own internal polling and externals going, where does the life issue stack up? And it's polling fairly low right now. We understand there's some things like the economy and all that always are going to be on the top of people's minds, and we totally get that. But I do think there's a new way to look at this specific topic. And we're going to break that down coming up in the next segment, including a new move, Will, from President Trump. And we can just kind of tease it. As he's been on the campaign trail, he's doing a lot of interviews. People are asking a lot of questions and coming at it from a different way. Because what we've heard over the last few months is, kind of all of the states who are more pro-life weighing into, well, 13 weeks, 10 weeks, 5 weeks, zero, having that discussion, and he's kind of flipping the narrative.
Right, and if you remember back to the CNN town hall when he was asked about his accomplishments and specifically about Roe versus Wade, he made the statement that some, especially on the left, thought was a little puzzling. He said the pro-life movement is now in a position to negotiate. And some people are like, well, is that negotiating over weeks?
Strange, yeah.
But when then you hear this follow-up, and we can play the sound in the next segment, we're running close on time here, but John Solomon asked him about some things that completely flip the script and take it out of the debate and even the language of ban, which I think can have a, when there's a negative word, like word ban, can, especially in polling data, can skew negatively because people hear the term, a negative term, or government doing something, sometimes there be pushback. And as you've long said, we got to find something positive. We have to find a way to rewrite the script.
Something new.
And there's something really interesting that he brings up in this interview with John Solomon.
Yeah, not to just tease that we will be breaking that down. You'll hear from clips. And we're going to discuss also with Matt, who's still sitting in the studio with us, some of the amazing work that he's doing and some of the new options for dads that is going to be rolling out here soon that he's involved in, that I'm excited about. Again, resources that if you don't personally need them, you can share them and you can tell your friends about them. And that's what's happening, I think, even with Church Hurt. It's another piece of this sort of global puzzle that we're all a part of. And it's important for someone to take this head on. I'm glad Matt is here to do that. But we're going to discuss that coming up in the next segment. And you should give me a call. If you have a question about any of these or just a comment, I'd love to hear about it. 1-800-684-3110. Thanks for all the positive feedback. I'm sure Matt's happy about it on his song. It's very interesting to hear how many of you have experienced very similar situations. And that is something we need to all start looking at, and the influence of the church and how we can make things better. We'll be right back with more on Secula. We are joined still in studio by Matt Hammett. Again, check out his new song, Church Hurt. But I want to move this conversation a little bit, Matt, and we're going to discuss in just a second, that we teased it, about what President Trump rolled out recently on the campaign trail, doing an interview with Just the News. But I did want to start with some of the work that you're doing in the pro-life movement. As you may have seen, if you're watching online, Matt performed at our office in D.C. during the March for Life. And you're working a lot with not only us, but with Save the Storks, who we work with quite a bit as well. And you've got something new rolling out. And again, another important resource, because you're going around. And look, I'd say this, you're a brave guy, because even in Christian music, I think you're probably pretty, most people who maybe have never been involved in the business side of the Christian music business, don't understand that taking these stances, even taking a pro-life stance, is not that easy.
No.
It's probably not even very encouraged at this point, because it's so divisive, can be so part of the conversation. And sadly, people like you, and there are others as well, people like you are sort of some of the trailblazers and the torchbearers still for this movement.
Yeah. You know, when we were pregnant with our third baby in 2010, his name's Bowen, he's 12 now. But, you know, we were told by many doctors because of his heart condition that we should abort. And so I think for us, we were sitting across from, you know, on the other side of the desk from medical professionals telling us the right thing to do was to terminate our pregnancy. So, you know, I think that gave me this innate empathy for people who deal with this every single day. And when I found out what Save the Storks was doing with the mobile units, 4 to 5 women stepping on these buses, choosing life, I got the opportunity to work with them, you know, over the past probably 7 years. And most recently got to partner with them to actually start a project called Dare to Be a Dad. Because I was going around to all these pregnancy centers, looking at the resources, nothing for dads or very little, and nothing that certainly looked modern and good. So we did a 7-part series, a book and a video series that's coming out in the next few weeks. It's a free resource. Dare to Be a Dad, just challenging dads not only to step up and be the father they were called to be, but encouraging them that they have what it takes to do so.
Yeah, and that starts to change the conversation as we discuss, because as you said, there wasn't a lot of resource for dads. Because I'm sure the pregnancy centers, they are dealing with a lot of single mothers. They're dealing with a lot of people walking in, not sure what to do. Probably not dealing with a lot of dads.
Yeah.
But if we can keep that conversation going, we could create something new. Again, it's about changing it all up, changing the way things are approached.
Well, and a lot of times winning an argument is to not give the other side ammunition against you. And one of the things you always see, they're tired tropes for sure from the left are, well, you don't care about the baby after they're born, or what about the father that isn't stepping up? Yeah. And so what encourages me are when there's things like this project, the Dare to Be a Dad, is that it takes away that argument from those that are pushing the abortion agenda to say, well, we do care about fathers stepping up. I remember during after the Roe versus Wade leak, the Dobbs decision leaked, there was a tweet by a professor that said something to the effect, fine, you want life to begin at conception? Well, then attach child support, life insurance, health insurance, all these things. And I was like, okay, great.
Okay.
Right. Like, and they thought that was a gotcha.
Yeah, great idea.
So if they're not hearing from conservatives and members of the pro-life movement the opposite, if they're not hearing about how to take care of the child afterwards or empowering fathers to take care of that child, then they're going to be able to use these things against the pro-life movement in perpetuity. So let's take it away from them.
Especially as now we're in this sort of state-by-state situation in a post-Roe world where we are going state-by-state. And look, there are states like we're in Tennessee where abortion now is very rare. It's mostly illegal at this point. However, there's the opposite across the country where it is more prevalent than ever and more, like you said, pushed on than ever. But what has been interesting is we've been having this conversation of Florida puts in a 6-week or 5-week ban or puts in a 13-week ban, or these other states start throwing around all these numbers and you're hearing all this. The Trump campaign, who look, I say whatever you want about him. I'm not endorsing or not endorsing a candidate here. He was asked, President Trump was asked by John Solomon just this week, yesterday, I believe, earlier this week, about specifically what the next kind of process would be in limiting abortions nationwide, what that would look like. Again, coming from John Solomon, I like when they actually are doing press with people who maybe, I don't know, agree with you a little bit, because they're going to have discussions about topics that you care about and won't be so hostile. Let's hear a soundbite so you can just hear it from his own words in sort of this change of narrative.
ability to get an army of parents assembled who might adopt children if a mom is considering having abortion or adoption. Would you use the tax code? Do you have some ideas for using the tax code and other things to create incentives to do that?
Well, I think the incentive is great, and I think the concept of adoption is fantastic, and it could go a long way, and it's something that I would be supportive of, very supportive of, and we'd get that done. I don't even think that would be a very difficult thing to get done.
That's just a short soundbite essentially saying, yeah, here's a new idea. Instead of focusing on, you know, the bans nationwide, which we, by the way, 100% we should be involved in all of those issues, and we are, but how do you start winning over hearts? How do you start winning over a different part of the conversation, start incentivizing the idea of adoption? It's a pretty unique move.
Right. And that's coming from the framing of the question from John Solomon is coming from information that was coming out of the campaign that they're thinking about creating an adoption core that would get parents pre-approved to adopt babies from women weighing whether or not to have an abortion, as well as tax breaks that could be an incentive for both the birth mother and prospective adoptive parents. And this ties back to the IRS story that we were talking earlier about at the very beginning of the show, where they are doing selective enforcement of criminal law. Yeah. One thing they're not very selective about at the IRS.
This is wild, by the way, folks. If you've never heard this stat, this is crazy.
If you're an adoptive parent and you claim the adoption tax credit, now this is something that was put in place to help parents through the very expensive process of a domestic adoption. And if you take this tax credit, there's a 70% chance you will get an audit from the IRS. So if you are an adoptive parent, you've just gone through all the audit of your life by agencies, by the state, by the government, to be an adoptive parent. Yeah. Then you go ahead, think, we've got this child, we're celebrating life together, we're learning how to be a family. And all of a sudden the IRS comes a knock and sends a letter and says, you're under an audit. One, it's going to delay getting any refund because it's under this period of audit. And it's also another stress put on your life right when you're trying to create a family and foster this loving, nurturing environment. And over 55% of the audits come back with no change. And the ones that do, some, they're owed more money.
Yeah.
So the IRS is targeting people that are adopted. If just you haven't adopted, less than a 1% chance you're going to get an audit. If you adopt a child and claim this tax credit, 70% of those people are getting audited by the IRS.
It's wild. And we've talked about this discussion, you know, whether we can change sort of the way people look at it. And how do you not, if you can come up with the idea of the opposite of that, where you do incentivize someone to adopt, whether that's through tax credits or whatever it would be, the opposite of the idea of, oh, by the way, you're about to be put through a lot and you're gonna be put through even more. Plus, obviously you're adopting a child and all of the sort of stress that comes into that. That discussion we have to move on past that. We can't be in the world where we are talking about this. And you are right, Will, that they always throw out the, you only care about the baby in the womb. And it's just simply not the case. And look, there are so many organizations. I mean, we're there in the legal fights. But we're also working with a lot of organizations, and Matt certainly is, who are there doing incredible work for these child's lives. This is not just this. It's a talking point. It's a fake talking point that's been perpetuated over and over and over again. And thankfully, there are people like you and some of these resources that you're creating to try to at least get that part of the conversation out of there.
Now, I'm speaking at 20 pregnancy centers a year, right? Going around, helping them raise money, talking about these programs. And man, I'm watching these amazing people who are walking with mothers, not just through the pregnancy, but and way beyond, with free counseling, free services, free clothing. It's like you watch everything they're doing for them. Yeah, you're right. That's just a narrative just to attack. It's baseless.
So hopefully, everybody who's listening, we can start this conversation to sort of change the way we even speak about it. I like the way the President Trump rolled it out, saying, let's incentivize the idea of adoption, and that could potentially bring down the number of abortions nationwide. That's a great move, because as much as I do think, and we are in those legal fights, guys, every week, we are in every state fighting these legal fights for these new restrictions and new rules that are coming out in support of the pro-life movement. But we also have to mentally start looking at different ways. And we only have a minute here, but Matt, I'm going to give you another minute to just plug not only Church Hurt, but your new dad series that's coming out. Because I think, take this next minute, let people know how they can find you. I think it's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate you having me on, Logan and Matt. Yeah, so Church Hurt, you know, you can find, not only you can stream the song, watch the lyric video, and you can download the 7-day free devotional at matthammett.com. And then here in the next few weeks, we're going to be rolling out Dare to Be a Dad by Father's Day. And you can find out more about that at SaveTheStorks.com.
Awesome. SaveTheStorks.com. Share this with your friends. Share Church Hurt. Share everything that's going on. Make sure, let Matt know you heard about it here, too. I appreciate that. And tell your friends about this sort of new movement that's happening within Christian music, because I think it's important. I think it's an important thing to happen. I said it earlier. I do believe it's one of the most important songs, if not the most important song, that's come out in decades for this genre of music, if you will. It's important. It touches a lot of people. Go to matthammett.com. We're going to take your calls coming up in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to wrap up. We're going to take some phone calls. We're also going to reset. Thanks to Matt Hammett for joining us, and thanks obviously to Rick Grinnell as well for joining us today. It was a great show, and I hope you feel empowered by it. We do have some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, I know some of you are, we are going to talk a little bit about what our first topic was. So if you are clicking on this right now and you see the breaking IRS threatens new whistleblower with criminal investigation, I think, Will, we should break down sort of the new facts, and maybe you can give us a call with your thoughts.
Right. So we had already discussed the whistleblower that came forward to Congress, to both Chuck Grassley in the Senate and Representative Comer, who chairs the Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives. A whistleblower came forward from the IRS and said, I have information. I want to have official whistleblower protections. I want to make an official whistleblower disclosure, protected under law, wants to do it the right way, was very careful about how this individual was coming forward. And this was, according to news reports, related to the Hunter Biden investigation. And we found out that after that, it seemed like the IRS retaliated against this individual by completely removing this individual and their entire investigative team that had been working on this investigation for 5 years. So that happens. Now, that same law firm that was representing the first whistleblower comes back and says, we copied you, Honorable Daniel Werfel, Commissioner of the IRS, on various letters to committees of Congress warning that our IRS, our client, had been removed by the IRS. And now there's another whistleblower that was going to superiors saying, I'm not being listened to. This isn't a good situation. You are making the decision to side with not the investigators here in the IRS, but the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice, who they have been putting undue influence on our investigation. And when this second whistleblower was trying to go to his superiors and then above his superiors, he gets an email from a assistant special agent in charge suggesting that they may be illegally disclosing grand jury material in emails to the director of the IRS, yep, the commissioner of the IRS. All of this to say, this law firm is now sending a cease and desist, saying stop intimidating our clients for simply exercising their constitutional right to petition Congress, and also statutory rights against retaliation for doing this very thing. So the IRS gets caught for having a political infection in their investigations. Then what do? They retaliate against that whistleblower. And when they get caught retaliating against the whistleblower, a second whistleblower says they're still doing things wrong, and that whistleblower gets threatened with a criminal investigation. There is a rot at the IRS.
Yeah.
This commissioner does not have control of the IRS. We helped get them cleaned up for a while, but all of a sudden, Joe Biden's in town, new sheriff. They're doing the same things, whether it be targeting churches, Christian groups, Catholic churches specifically. The IRS, the FBI, these agencies that have terrifying power are going back to their old dirty tricks of targeting conservatives and now targeting employees that want to do the right thing and protect American citizens, not target them.
Yeah, hopefully that could give us a very intensive explanation.
I'm very passionate about this, Logan.
He's so impassioned about the IRS. Great. I'm glad you did it. It was very impressive. I hope that gives you a big scope of what we were talking about here. There is this sort of corruption. I brought it up during the conversation with Rick Grinnell, where It is hard to not look at America and think that we are in some kind of decline when these situations occur, because it does feel like you're being targeted. It feels like the sort of three-letter organizations who you've put some trust in. I mean, you could say you never really loved the IRS. Who does? But the FBI, the CIA, these were kind of above reproach, but even they're being corrupted. And we're seeing that in a sort of a mass scale. And it's being, you know, unearthed, whether that's due to FOIA requests that we do here at the ACLJ or other things that you can sort of go in and find out all this information. We're taking new approaches to this. I've been preaching this and I believe it. Here at the ACLJ, we are changing the world right now with some of the new innovative ways we are approaching these topics. And I encourage you to go read up. I know you got to read. Read up, watch some videos. How about that? We got a huge Rumble channel. We got a huge YouTube channel. I did want to stop and say, hey, thank you. Thank you to Rumble. Yesterday, we asked you to follow, and we broke 200,000 followers on Rumble. So if you haven't already, I'm going to ask you to do it again. But really, we hit that milestone. I'm just going to say thank you, because 200,000 of you have joined us at a pretty much a brand new platform. I mean, Rumble's been around for a few years now, but when it comes to the way that they have focused in on free speech, we are at 200,000 of you who have said follow. And that is impressive. That is showing that this platform isn't going away. Whether you watch us on YouTube, whether you watch us on Facebook, that's great. But with Facebook and YouTube, you never know what you're going to get. We have to be very careful on some of the words we say on Facebook and YouTube, whether that's on the title or whatever it is. But we know on Rumble, we don't have to do that. And hopefully there'll be more people that see what's going on at Rumble and carry the torch into a new generation of First Amendment fights. I'm not sure if we have time to take this quick call. Do you want to take it? Let's go to, we got a few minutes. Let's go to Lorraine, who's calling in New York. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Two quick questions. Why isn't Hillary Clinton and all those people that were exposed in the Durham report paying any consequences? Is there a way to make them accountable and like we would if we were them? And also, what's the way to support the whistleblowers that just testified?
Yeah, to support. Okay, well, yes.
Well, I've got something specifically for the whistleblowers, because I've seen people in the comments like, can the ACLJ represent the whistleblowers? They have great attorneys already. The Empower Oversight is an organization that specifically helps whistleblowers. And then Nixon Peabody is a law firm, and that's where the attorney.
But look, part of this,
Mark Little is through, and so they're very good at that, at protecting whistleblowers. What I would say to do is go to, you saw how the Democrats played the FBI whistleblowers in that hearing last week. They were essentially writing it off, that it wasn't important. You're from New York, Lorraine. On the Judiciary Committee in the House, Dan Goldman represents the 10th District of New York, and he's on the Judiciary Committee Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. He's also on the Oversight Committee, as well as AOC. She's on the House Oversight Committee. These are the committees that are going to be looking into the whistleblowers in some degree. Call them. Say, even if you're not in their district, I'm a representative. You represent the state of New York's delegation. And tell the Democrats that you want them to hear from these whistleblowers, too, and not just play it off as politics to cover up the dirty tricks that are going on.
Absolutely. But for the world of politics and the world of what we do here, there's a couple ways we can really get engaged. Number one is obviously media presence. We have a large media team. We are telling you about this. We're exposing these stories when a lot of people do not. So that's why you support the work of the ACLJ, because it supports not only the legal work we do, but also this broadcast, also the way we can reach people worldwide. Another way you can do it is, again, just go to aclj.org, click that support button, click that help button. You can even, if you need legal help, you can find it there at aclj.org. Also, we have ACLJ Action, which gets very involved in what's going on legislatively and what's going on in Washington, D.C., beyond just the courtroom. It's a really cool, you know, sister organization. You should take a look at what's going on at ACLJ Action. Again, I want to appreciate and thank all of you who joined us today. All of you hit that follow, that like, that subscribe. Know that I really appreciate it. Thanks to Matt Hammett. Go to matthammett.com. Take a look at his new song, but also all those new devotionals and things he's coming up with. Great content there. Thanks to Rick Grinnell. We'll be back tomorrow with more on Seculo. Jordan will be back, and we'll have another great conversation, another great discussion, and I'm sure some excellent guests, some excellent points of view. Thanks to Will as well for sitting in here today. All right. We'll be back tomorrow on Seculo.